Bible reading today comes from Daniel chapter 10, which can be found on page 1394 of your pew Bibles. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left, my face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, "Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you." And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, "I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I feel very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe." Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. "Do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed," he said. "Peace, be strong now, be strong." When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, "Speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength." So he said, "Do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect him."
Thank you, Ellie. Isn't it so good how Daniel, it just gets easier and easier, doesn't it, to understand? It's great how it does that. Now, it's another kind of confusing passage this morning, isn't it? A lot kind of going on to unpack there. Just give me a second to get myself set up. Well, as a staff team, we've been in Sydney, or at least Carl and Tom and myself were in Sydney this week at a conference called Reach Australia. It was a really encouraging conference, great Bible teaching, having our eyes lifted to the victory of Christ. Really encouraging time. In the airport on the way home, though, something happened that we need to talk about this, okay? So Tom, Carl and myself, we were getting served some drinks, and the guy behind the counter, we were talking to him, and he kind of said, "Where are you guys from? You've got a bit of a weird accent." He didn't say that part. He said, "Where are you guys from?" We said, "We're from Adelaide." And he was like, "I've been to Adelaide." And we went, "Oh, how good is it?" And you'll never guess what he said. He went, "It was so boring." I know. Tom and I had to hold Carl back from. We didn't really. But we thought, like, Adelaide's like the place to be, right? It's the place to be. But not to this guy. He did not think that at all. Just in your kind of mind, just imagine like the place to be for you. Like, where's the place to be? Now then imagine something like 1,000 times better than that. And imagine one day you get an invitation in the mail and it's free tickets, like an invitation with free tickets to go there, to that place, the place to be that you just love, you really want to be there. It's better than anything you can imagine. You jump on a plane, then you go into an airport, that all goes smoothly. You get into a taxi, and you're really surprised, but the taxi goes really smoothly as well, and it takes you to a boat dock. And then you get out at the boat dock, and you're walking through like the ticketing area of the boat dock, and you wave your tickets around. You go, I've got free tickets, I can walk right through. And you walk through, you pass lines and lines of people. You get to the boat dock, and you see the boat. And this is the last step. Once you're on that boat, it's going to take you to the place to be where you can't think of anywhere better to be than this place. And you see the captain there, and he's just smiling at you, saying, kind of, get on. And you're walking up to him. And then the radio in the ticketing section, you hear a voice come over, and the voice says, there's a storm coming. And you kind of go, ooh, storm, boat, I don't know if that's a great combination. And you kind of keep walking because the captain's looking at you and kind of smiling, saying, everything's going to be okay, just get on the boat, it'll be fine. So you keep walking, and then a voice comes over the radio a bit louder this time, saying, there is a big storm coming. Do you get on the boat or not? Looking out at all those waves that you can start seeing crashing around the place. Do you get on the boat? Do you finish the journey? In Daniel 10, verse 1, we read, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel. It was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war, or a great conflict, a time of great suffering. The understanding of the message came to Daniel in a vision. See, in Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, we learn that Daniel has this vision. And what gets revealed in this vision is that there are storms ahead. There are storms ahead. It's the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, and Daniel, an elderly man at this point, is reaching the end of his life. And if there's one thing we know Daniel longs for, it's the home God has promised his people. That's the place to be. Daniel longs for God's promises to come true. Now, again and again, Daniel has seen God's faithfulness to his promises, hasn't he? We've seen that so many times in the book of Daniel. And Daniel has also shown his faithfulness to God. But man, it's been hard. It's been really hard. So we find Daniel mourning and praying in verse 2 to 3. We read, at that time I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. And I know what you're thinking, right? If I didn't have meat for 3 weeks, I'd be pretty sad as well. It's not what's going on. See, Daniel is coming before God in great mourning, expressing that mourning in fasting and in prayer. Verse 12 helps us understand that this is what's going on. The messenger that Daniel sees talks about the words Daniel has been speaking or praying to God. Daniel is mourning. Notice in verse 4, we read that it's the 24th day of the first month. Now, in the Jewish calendar, this was the time of the year the Israelites would remember the Passover from Exodus, the time God delivered his people from slavery to the Egyptians and brought them into covenant relationship to be his beloved people and to receive his blessing. But just think about where Daniel is now. God's people are in exile, oppressed by another nation because they broke their promises to God. Far from continuing to receive God's blessing, Daniel knows the home God gave his people where they experienced that blessing remains desolate and broken. Even though there are some who have traveled home to rebuild it, they have faced problem after problem after problem. It's not hard to understand why Daniel might have been in mourning. Is there any hope for me in this broken world? Is it worth it to go the distance as one of God's people if it's this hard? You might have become a Christian in the last few years, or you might have become a Christian early in your life, and it's been a long, long time. Well, there is a message we all need to hear from Daniel 10 this morning. See, faithfulness to the end will be hard, but God is for you. This is what we learned from Daniel this morning. God wants Daniel to know that there are storms ahead, and that faithfulness to the end, it will be hard. And it's something we know, right? You know, life gets hard, it gets sad and lonely, it can feel overwhelming, it can feel kind of unfair. And then there's sin. It can feel like it's just going to be there forever. This constant struggle against the desires of our hearts that we know are sinful, that can either bring us to despair and to feel unchangeable and hopeless, or that can make us feel like we should just give up and let sin run its course and just ignore it. Lust and greed and anger and pride and jealousy and bitterness just can feel like we look around and we see this stuff in other people and we see it in ourselves. And we go, well, I guess I may as well just give up. You might be sitting there today and feeling that way. You might feel just kind of checked out as a Christian and like you're just going through the motions of coming to church on a Sunday. Is faithfulness to God to the end worth it when life can feel so hard? Well, here's another thing we learned from the passage this morning. The devil would love for you to give up. The devil would love for you to give up. Daniel 10 shows us that the devil is there in the background, scheming away, and he would love for you to give up. So here's the really big idea that we need to remember from Daniel 10 and then kind of take home with us. It's this: God is for you. The devil is against you. Faithfulness to the end will be hard, but in case you didn't hear it the first time, God is for you. Daniel chapter 10 through to Daniel chapter 12, they actually go together in this section of Daniel. They run right through to the end of chapter 12, the end of the book. And chapter 10 doesn't actually contain the revelation that the messenger talks to Daniel about. It's just one really long introduction. And it's because God wants Daniel to know something important before he really shows Daniel that faithfulness to the end will be hard, before he shows that storm that's coming. See, in chapter 11 to 12, Daniel sees what that storm is. But before he gets there, God wants Daniel to know, God is for you, the devil is against you. Faithfulness to the end will be hard, but in case you didn't hear it the first time, God is for you. See, before he sees the storm, Daniel finds out that the captain is trustworthy, that he can get on that boat, because the captain can weather any storm that will come Daniel's way. First thing we see, God is for you. In verse 5 to 11, Daniel meets the messenger that God has sent to tell him that there is a storm ahead. And here is what we read. Daniel says, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. Daniel is so overwhelmed by the person he sees, he faints. Then he says, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you and stand up, for I've been sent to you. And when he said this to Daniel, Daniel stood up, trembling. So what a kind of image for Daniel to see. Now, we can't say with any degree of certainty who this messenger is. But whoever it is, this is what's meant to stand out. Whoever this heavenly messenger is that God has sent to Daniel, they radiate the power and beauty and majesty and glory of the God of the universe. And it's no wonder Daniel faints. The fasting and being, you know, a billion years old, it probably didn't help Daniel, but this is why he faints. It's no wonder this happened. No wonder the people are terrified and flee who are with Daniel before this messenger. They can't even see him. Now, Daniel uses the most precious material and jewels, the most powerful language he can think of to describe the messenger he sees. He uses that fine gold and topaz, which is a beautiful and rare jewel. He uses lightning and blazing fire. He talks about bronze arms and legs, a linen garment, and a voice like a multitude or like a waterfall. Think of the roar of Niagara Falls coming from this person's mouth. So here is what Daniel is trying to convey as he describes this heavenly messenger from God. He's trying to somehow capture with words the power and the glory that this messenger just radiates. And as he sees him, here is what would have stood out to Daniel in his mourning and in his grief. Here is what needs to stand out to us. Daniel sees the absolute sufficiency of God to meet the needs of his people. The linen garb is like a garb worn by the priests in the temple, through whom the sins of God's people would be atoned for as they made sacrifices for them. The power and glory, the lightning and fire, it's an image of the God who had appeared to his people Israel in such a display of power in Exodus that a whole mountain had been covered with lightning and fire and had been shaken, a whole mountain, as God came down to make a covenant with them. His arms and legs of bronze, this unpierceable armor behind which his people can hide and take refuge as he goes out to fight on their behalf. And that voice that will be heard, no matter who tries to stop it from being heard. See, Daniel sees this messenger. He sees the forgiveness and the faithfulness and the unrivaled power of our God, the absolute sufficiency of God to meet the needs of his people. And here is what this messenger says to Daniel after he sets him trembling on his hands and knees in verse 10. He says, "Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you and stand up, for I have been sent to you." Daniel has cried out to God in his grief and mourning and uncertainty, and God has heard his cry. You are highly esteemed. You know, what comfort for Daniel who sees and feels the sin and brokenness of the world. He is highly esteemed by the God who can meet his needs. Now you might think that's really great for Daniel, isn't it? That's awesome for Daniel, but who am I that God would ever think that way about me? The linen, the gold, the topaz, the bronze, the lightning, fire, the voice like a waterfall. These are images of the most precious and powerful things Daniel can bring to mind to help him describe what he sees when he sees this messenger. When he sees this, that God can and does meet his needs. There is nothing in the universe that comes close to being able to describe how precious and how powerful the blood of Jesus is that has been poured out for you. You are highly esteemed. And here is what we need to see next. We need to see this. The devil would love nothing more than for you to forget that, or to think that it means less than it does. Because the second thing we see, the devil is against you. Verse 12, the messenger continues, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." Daniel, who is highly esteemed, his cry has been heard by God. But then what do we see next? "I've come in response, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." And you think, what on earth have we just read? You're kind of like rubbing your eyes. What? Well, here's the idea. Daniel has been crying out to God, and the devil has tried to stop God from answering. Daniel has been crying out to God, and the devil has tried to stop God from answering. The devil sends one of his henchmen, one of his lieutenants, the prince of Persia, to keep God's messenger from being able to reach Daniel. It's a really confronting reality. But it's one we need to understand is true. And we need to kind of sit in this for a little bit this morning. See, there's this big reality that God opens Daniel's eyes to. See, there are these big events that Daniel can see happening in Persia that are making the lives of God's people harder in some way. And Daniel mourns it as he sees it. But behind those events, God is helping Daniel see the devil is at work. The one who is most opposed to God, who is against all of God's people, is at work. Because he doesn't want Daniel to hear from God. It means like that the real struggle for power that we see in Daniel, it's not being played out between Persia or Babylon. It's not being played out between the US and Iran or Russia or China. The real struggle for power is between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And this is what Daniel is finding out as the devil tries to tear people away from God. This is a spiritual reality. And we are automatically drawn into that power struggle. Of course the devil sends one of his henchmen to stop Daniel hearing from God because the devil is against God. And if the devil is against God, he is certainly against you. In John 8:44, Jesus calls the devil the father of lies. You might think things are hopeless in the world and in your life. You might think God doesn't see you or hear you or care about you. And the devil would love for you to believe that lie. On the other hand, you might think you don't really need to worry about God anymore because you come to church, you've checked the box that says Christian, and now you can focus more on your job and your family because you've got that part sorted, rather than focusing on the fact that you're now part of God's family and part of God's kingdom work in the world. The devil would love for you to believe that lie. He doesn't want anyone in God's kingdom or to be about God's kingdom work. He'd love for you to forget all about God. In Zechariah 3, verse 1, we read about how the devil loves to point the finger at people, to tell God that they're not worthy, that they're a failure, that they don't belong, that they'll never belong because they're sinful. The devil would love for you to feel like you don't belong. He would love for that to be true. In Luke 8:12, we read the parable of the sower about how God sends out his word of life, sends out the gospel, sowing it as a farmer would sow his crop, that people might believe in him and be saved from his judgment of their sin. But like a crow swooping in, the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. The father of lies does not want the truth to be heard. He doesn't want you to remember that God offers forgiveness and life in his son. He doesn't want you to remember that if you believe, you have been forgiven. That if you believe, you do belong. He doesn't want you to know the truth, just like he didn't want Daniel to know the truth. But here's the thing about trying to silence God's voice. It would be like trying to resist the weight and roar of Niagara Falls with nothing but an umbrella. The devil would love for Daniel not to hear the truth, but good luck. Did you notice that this is what the prince of Persia tries to stop God's messenger from telling Daniel? This is what the devil has sent his henchmen to do. The messenger tells Daniel in verse 20, "Do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go, the prince of Greece will come." So great, another one. "But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth." Now we can't go through all of chapter 11 and 12 this morning. We'll be here all day if we do. But here is what Daniel sees. He sees the storm that is coming.
He sees that faithfulness to the end will be hard. He sees war and suffering and persecution. Faithfulness to the end will be hard. But here is what Daniel gets to hear in his old age. Right at the end of his journey, here is the truth he gets let in on that would have just put a spring in Daniel's step. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 13, it's the very last thing we read that Daniel hears. And he hears this, God's message to Daniel. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest. And then at the end of days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. He's saying faithfulness to the end will be hard. But in case you didn't hear it the first time, God is for you. And man, will it be worth it. The lie the devil wants you to believe is that you won't make it, that you should just give up, that it's not worth it, that God doesn't have anything good for you. The devil wants you to believe that you don't need to keep going, to believe that God isn't even there. He wants you to believe God doesn't even care about you. He would love for you to believe those lies. But when Jesus died on that cross, he showed the devil's lies for what they are. And he crushed any hope the devil thought he had of stopping God from saving us, of stopping God from giving us eternal life with him instead of eternal judgment like we deserve. And it's all because of the precious, powerful blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb that we sang about in our second song. There's this great old hymn. It says, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The sin that once meant we were objects of God's wrath, it has been forgiven by God through the precious blood of Jesus that has washed us clean of its stain. If you believe Jesus has done this for you, you can know with certainty that you are forgiven. Certainty that you belong. Now here is what we can't think about the devil. Here is what you can't walk out of this room thinking this morning. There is a power struggle going on, but it's one the devil can't possibly win. So he's already lost. God has won, and the devil hates it. Daniel has seen that this power struggle is true in the physical world around him, the physical world we can see around us. And now Daniel gets to catch a glimpse of this in the unseen realms, the heavenly realms. And he sees that God wins there too. Colossians 2:15 says Jesus triumphed over the devil and all of his minions at the cross. And here is what is so amazing for us. We get to see what Daniel didn't. We get to know how God has won. We see it in Revelation 12:10-11. This great news. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God. Now have come the salvation, power, and kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him. How? By the blood of the Lamb. Faithfulness to the end will be hard. But not because sin or the devil might win. They can't win. See, but here is what we need to remember. We need to remember this part. While they're still both there and existing, faithfulness to the end will be hard. And so what are we to do with that? The third thing we need to think, faithfulness to the end will be hard. But Daniel 10:15-19 shows us what to do with that. We keep reading. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I feel very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. The one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. "Do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed," he said. "Peace. Be strong now. Be strong." When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, "Speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength." The first thing we need to see is faithfulness to the end will be hard, but we don't need to be afraid. Faithfulness to the end will be hard, but don't be afraid. Do you know what the most repeated phrase from God is in the Bible? It's, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. See, here is what fear says. Fear says, "No one can save me from this." It says, "Run away and hide, you're done for, there's no hope." God says repeatedly all throughout the Bible, two times in this passage, "Do not be afraid." And why? Because God is for you. God is for you. As much as we might see the devil's grubby fingerprints in the world and in our lives and just the grubby fingerprints of sin, you don't need to be afraid. So remember God's message to Daniel, "Go your way till the end." So keep going. You will rest, and then at the end of days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. The blood of the Lamb who was slain has guaranteed this for us, an eternity with God, free from suffering and fear and sin and death and evil. Faithfulness to the end will be hard, but don't be afraid. God is for you. Second thing we see is that faithfulness to the end will be hard, so stand strong. Well, stand strong in the Lord. It's the only way Daniel can stand up again in Daniel 10, isn't it? In the strength that is given to him. Now, can you remember Peter, one of Jesus' followers in the New Testament? Peter tries to stand in his own strength when he hears that the devil is against him. Can you remember that in Luke? The devil wants to sift all of Jesus' followers like wheat. He wants to shake the faith out of them. And Peter thinks that he can just do it himself. But here is the lesson he learned when he failed and that he passes on to us. We read it in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. Peter says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Scary, isn't it? But what does he say to do? So stand firm in the faith. Stand firm by trusting in the Lord, in his strength. See, fear says no one can save me from this. That overconfidence that Peter showed said that I can save me from this. That's what Peter was showing. But faith says only Jesus can save me from this. And he has saved me from this. And we can only be faithful to the end if we know this and believe this to be true. See, on that boat dock with Jesus, you see the storm coming. And you think, there is no way I can save myself from this. Good, because he can. He's already been through it and beat it. And he's the only one who can bring you through it. So we stand in his strength. Paul leaves these words with the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18. And I want you to notice as I read through some of these verses how everything that helps us stand strong in the Lord against the devil's schemes, all of this comes from God. Not a single bit of it from us. The Ephesians 6, 10 to 11, we read, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, against all of his minions." And then we read in verse 14 to 18, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And then he says this, he says, "And pray Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. See, everything we need to go to the distance has been given by God. The truth. Not the lies of the devil. We have the truth. So we don't need to listen to the lies of the devil. When the devil points at us and says, guilty. What do we read? The breastplate of righteousness. Jesus is pointing us and saying, no, 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 righteous. When we hear lies that there's no good news, everything's just, it's all just a disaster, isn't it? We read, no, 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 there is great news. The gospel of peace. Peace with God. And we know there's nothing we should trust in this world more than Jesus. He's gifted us with faith. He's revealed who he is. Who he is the one we need to have faith in. The helmet of salvation. That's something he's gifted to us. Salvation. A certainty that we've been saved from our sins for eternity with him. And he's given us the word of God. We get to hear from our God. Every day we can open up the Bible to hear from our God speaking to us. To know how to live in his world. And we can talk to our God. He says, pray. He says, pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and requests. Just bring everything before God. Bring everything before your Father who loves you, who cares for you. And keep on doing it. Keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Everything we need to go the distance has been given by God. We can't ignore this. As we are caught up in the only power struggle that really matters, know that God is for you. The devil is against you. Faithfulness to the end will be hard, but in case you didn't hear it the first time, God is for you. So don't be afraid. Stand in his strength. Because he will be faithful to the end. The devil will try his hardest to get you to forget about God, whether that comes through facing times of peace and ease of life, facing times of struggle, or times of feeling guilt and shame and feeling like you don't belong. He would love to see you fail. But don't be afraid. Stand in God's strength, because God will be faithful to the end. Let me lead us in prayer. Psalm 91, verse 1 to 2. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Father, may we know these words to be our own in Christ, through whom we do not need to fear the evil one, through whom we have strength to stand to the end, but not in our strength, only in yours. Knowing that you are faithful and you won't let us go. Help us to live for you, Father, faithful to the end, with the promise of your kingdom to come for eternity ahead of us, the assurance of our salvation, the assurance of your victory over sin and the evil one and death. We praise you for who you are as our mighty, sovereign God, the God who is for us. Amen.